All right, brethren, Luke chapter 18. Our Lord is speaking, and He was speaking to some Pharisees. We're told that back in Luke 17:20, He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. And there was still Pharisees standing around Him when He was speaking this word. And our Lord often spoke in parables. That's what He's doing here. A parable is an earthly story that gives a heavenly lesson. And that's what He's using here, is a parable. And in the very first words that we read here, we found out the definition of a particular sin. Now, when you think of sin, do you think of somebody who deals unjustly with people? When you think of sin, do you think of somebody who commits adultery? When you think of sin, do you think of somebody who's an extortioner? Those are all sins. But let me tell you about sin that's far worse than that. Those things you can recognize to a certain degree. This sin that we're talking about here, that the Lord is talking about, is not as easily recognizable. Listen to this. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now that's who He's speaking to. He's speaking to certain men which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That is a great definition of the sin of self-righteousness. And that is a good description of what self-righteousness does. Self-righteousness is to trust in yourself that you're righteous. And what self-righteousness always does is despise others. And you know who they despise first and foremost? You know who the Pharisees despised above all others? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read this parable, and we'll just take it verse by verse. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now, if you looked at these two men, one of these men just outwardly, and by his way of life, looked much better than the other man. The Pharisee would have looked, just outwardly looking, he would have looked like a man of good character and a man not immoral. He was a moral man. He was a religious man. The Pharisees were known for being righteous in everything they did, as far as outward righteousness goes. And when our Lord would deal with the Pharisees, He often dealt harshly with the Pharisees, the only people He dealt harshly with. But He also often put them in the position, in His parables, He would put them in the place of what was wrong. And then this other man is a publican. If you looked at a publican, he was a tax collector. And what they tended to do was, if they took $1 from you, they'd take two for themselves. They were thieves, mostly. They were sent by Rome to gather up taxes, and they extorted men for their money. That's what they did. And they stole people's hard-earned living. So if you looked at the Pharisee, he appears to be outwardly a righteous man. You look at the publican, this appears to be a sinful, immoral man. Well, they both went up to the temple to pray. They both go up to the temple to pray. That tells us that both of these men had an interest in God. At least it appears that way. One of them went up to pray as a religious exercise, as a self-righteous religious exercise. The other one went up to pray to God. Why have we come here today? Have we come here today to go through a religious exercise? Have we come here today to put on a good front in front of others to make others think we're a certain way? Are we trying to keep up appearances and that's why we're here? Or did we come here to truly worship God? We need to find that out about ourselves. Why am I going to that place? Do I think that my going to that place is going to earn me some sort of credit with God? Is me going to that place and engaging in an outward religious exercise, is that going to somehow make God accept me? Or am I going there because my only acceptance is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have to hear about Him? Well, it says here, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And that's very important words. Our Lord here has meaning in every one of His words. And this Pharisee stood. That tells us something about his spirit. Something about the pride of his flesh. He stood. He didn't kneel. When the Scripture speaks of worshiping, it means kneeling down. You know, they show the leper came to our Lord Jesus and he worshiped him. He came and he kneeled down in front of him. This man didn't do that. This man stood. He's a proud man. And he prayed thus with himself. He wasn't praying to God, and God wasn't engaged in this prayer. This man was praying thus with himself. Here's what he said. God, I thank Thee. Those are nice sounding words. They're humble sounding words. But as you continue to listen, you realize he really wasn't thankful to God for anything. He says, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. Not just once, I do it twice. And I give tithes of all that I possess. I don't give my tithes off the net. I give my tithes off the gross. All that I possess. Was this man not as other men? He said, I thank Thee, God, that I'm not as other men. Was he not as other men? Who makes men to differ? There's only one that makes men to differ. That's God. And the only way he makes us to differ is by his grace. By giving us what we do not deserve. In fact, grace is what we have demerited. And yet it's grace. Free, sovereign grace. And we can't glory in anything because we don't have anything but what we receive from God. That's the only way men are different. And yet here's a man that's saying he's different from other men, and the reasons he gives is He's not an extortioner. He's not unjust. He's not an adulterer. He's not like this publican. He fasts twice a week. He gives tithes of all that he possesses. There's a lot more involved in keeping the law than just that. And fact is, he hadn't kept the law in those things. Was he different than other men? Go with me to Romans chapter 1, just a moment. Romans chapter 1. As Paul finishes up talking about homosexuals and idolatrous men, he comes over here to this description. In verse 28, he says, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Now listen to this description. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." And then Paul, as it were, speaks to the righteous-looking, holy-looking Pharisee. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." That means every one of us were just described in this description right here. Every one of us, brethren, are filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. The whole list there, every one of us are full of those things. And so we can't stand and say that we're not like other men at all. We're exactly like all other men. Because all other men, and us included, fail in our father Adam. We all fail in our father Adam. And when Adam disobeyed God, we disobeyed God. And when Adam died spiritually and passed this corrupt seed on to us, we were conceived in sin and came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. That's me, you, and everybody else in this world. So if I want to stand up and I want to judge a man and say, "I'm not like this man, I don't do the things this man does," you're a liar. You do exactly what that man does. You do it in your heart. I do it in my heart. It's what I am in my nature, my fleshly nature. It's all I am, and it's all I can produce. And the same is true of you. Back at our text, Luke 18. This man said, "I'm not as other men are, extortioners." You know, this man's religion, works religion, is all about extortion. That's exactly what it is. It's all about using others and trying to extort others and getting others to do what you want them to do, or else you're going to tell on them. You're going to expose their sin if they don't do what you want them to do. That's extortion. And that's what all religion is. Oh, you give enough and you'll get a pass. You keep yourself in the pew, you'll get a pass. You give enough, you might even get your name on a plaque out in the parking lot. Why? What's the motivation? I don't want to be one that he judges. I don't want to be one that they bring up on church watch. I want to do these two things, because this is what they mainly are concerned about, is tithing and keeping the Sabbath. I want to do those two things. That'll keep me out of trouble. That's extortion. That's extortion. This man said, I'm not unjust. You realize what he's saying is unjust? What this man was saying right now was unjust. By saying he wasn't like other men and he wasn't like this publican, what he had in his heart was unjust. Justice would have said, I'm exactly like this publican. Justice would have said, I've never done a good thing in my life. Justice would have said, there's no good thing in my flesh whatsoever. Everything he's saying is unjust. Adulterers. I'm not an adulterer, he said. Remember, our Lord said, adultery is not just in the act. Adultery is in the thoughts. If you've looked upon a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery. You see, sin is within. Those Pharisees were eating and washing their hands before they ate, and they saw the Lord's disciples not washing their hands, and oh boy, now that was a no-no. You're going to defile yourself by eating without washing your hands. And our Lord said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, it's what comes out of his heart. Because out of his heart proceed all these sins. Out of his heart. Out of his heart. This man was playing the adulterer right now. Christ is the husband of his people. Christ is the husband of his people. And this man right here was committing spiritual adultery. You might say, well, Christ wasn't his husband. The law was his husband. I'll go with that. The law was his husband. And he was committing adultery on his husband because he wasn't being faithful to his husband. He was an adulterer in his heart. You go down the Ten Commandments. Go down the Ten Commandments. And I can tell you this, if you go to that law and you're trying to keep any one of those commandments to come into God's presence, you're breaking exactly what that commandment says not to do. That's right. Have no other gods beside me. If I go to that law and I try to earn a righteousness to come to God by it, I'm saying I'm better than God. I don't need Christ. I can do it on my own. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Go to that law for righteousness, and by breaking that very law, you're committing spiritual adultery. Thou shalt not steal. If I go to the law and try to come to God by my works, I'm stealing the glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So yes, this man was guilty. And then he has the audacity to look at this publican. You know, self-righteous folks love it when they can find somebody that's more sinful than they are. They love it. They love it when they can find somebody that's guilty of committing some outward acts of sin. Because they can use that person to exalt themselves. They can use that person to say, I don't do what he does. I don't do what he does. We're going to see in a minute, he sure didn't do what that publican did. He sure didn't. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. That was his hope. That was his hope. What he did, what he worked out, that was how he expected to come to God. Listen to me. Scripture says, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you've ever heard me preach, you know I've said this every single time I've preached. Maybe not these exact words, but this is my message. Whatever you do, don't try to come to God in your own righteousness. You don't have one. I don't have one. Not of myself. And God will not accept us because He's holy. God is holy. Do you realize that's why our Lord Jesus came down from heaven's glory? The reason holy God sent His only begotten Son into this earth, the reason Christ took flesh and was made of a woman, made under the law, the reason He did this is because God is holy. He's other than we are. Everything we are, He's not. And everything we're not, He is. He's other than we are. He's holy. And because He's holy, He can't receive a sinner. He can't receive a sinner. If you're going to come into God's presence, if I'm going to come into God's presence, we have to be as holy as God is and as righteous as God is before God will receive us. And I can't earn that. I can't work that out. That's why Christ came. The Lord Jesus Christ came down and was made under the law, and He is the head of His people. All God's elect, those God loved before the foundation of the world, those He chose by grace in Christ Jesus, those He blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ before the world was made. They were in Christ. You, believer, were in Christ. His elect were in Christ. The Hebrew writer told a story about Abraham. When Abraham came to Melchizedek, Abraham paid tithes. Well, Levi wasn't born for years and years and years later. But he said, when Abraham paid tithes, Levi paid tithes. Why? Because he was in Levi's loins. In Abraham's loins. And we were in Adam. We all came from Adam. And what Adam did, we did. But brethren, for God's elect, we were in Christ. And what Christ did, we did. We did. As perfect as Christ did it, we did it just that perfectly. It's not God's going to treat you like you did it perfectly. No, we were in Christ. Did Christ do it perfectly? Then we did it perfectly. We sure did. And Christ went to the cross and bore all the sin of all His elect throughout all time. And He hung there and God in justice poured out wrath upon our substitute. And when He bore that in His body and was crucified and said, "It's finished," it was finished. And He went into the grave. And the law said, "I'm satisfied." Whenever President Kennedy was shot, they arrested Lee Harvey Oswald and whatever you think about that. But Lee Harvey Oswald was, all eyes were on him. And whether you like Kennedy or not, he was the president. And for people used to respect the office, whether they liked the man or not. And because he's the president, everybody was looking at Lee Harvey Oswald and thinking, justice has got to be poured out on this man. He killed our president. And when Jack Ruby stepped out of that crowd and he shot Lee Harvey Oswald and killed Lee Harvey Oswald, the law said, satisfied. Can't do anything to him now. The full penalty of the law was carried out on him. He died. No sense setting him up in a courtroom now. He's dead. It's over with. And when we died in Christ on the cross, the law said, satisfied. We fulfilled the law completely. In Christ, by His perfect love to the Father and His perfect love to His people, we fulfilled the righteousness of the law. And in Christ on the cross, by Him bearing the penalty of God's wrath in perfect justice, we satisfied the justice of God. We have given the law everything the law demands. And we gave it in Christ our substitute. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How are we going to be made alive so that we can enter into this that Christ has done? We're dead sinners. We have to be made alive. Our God comes and crosses our path with this incorruptible seed, which is the God, whereby the gospel is preached unto you, and the Spirit of God enters in, and there's life conceived in there. And there's a new man. And he's not conceived in sin. He's conceived in the incorruptible seed. He's created in righteousness and true holiness, all from our Redeemer. And that new man is given faith and repentance from God. And that new man is given all things that pertain to godliness. And that new man lays hold of Christ, beholding Christ is all. And he does not look anywhere but to Christ. Christ is all. What do you mean, Christ is all, preacher? What do you need? Do you need righteousness? Christ is all. You need holiness? Christ is all. You need wisdom? Christ is all. You need liberty from the law? Christ is all. You need reconciliation? Christ is all. You need to be sanctified? Christ is all. Everything you need, Christ is. And when you have Christ, you don't look anywhere else. You've come to Him who is the end of the law. You've come to Him who is the end purpose for which the law was given. The law was given to teach sinners we're sinners and to shut our mouths in guilt and make us flee to Christ and away from ourselves. And when you come to Christ, you have all. Now, let's look at this publican. Here's a man who, in this parable, this is a man who you would say had been born of God. This is a man who had heard this gospel and who sin had been revealed to him by the Spirit of God. And now let's see what happens. And the publican, standing afar off, he didn't come up front. Apparently, the Pharisee must have come right up front, right up boldly to the front. This man didn't. This man stood afar off. And it says, he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. What? He wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven? Why is that? What's the point that he wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven? Let me read this to you from Ezra chapter 9. Listen to this real quick. At the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness. This is Ezra. And having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees. And I spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed. And I blush to lift up my face to Thee. I blush to even look to You. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. And that's why the Pharisee wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven. He was ashamed. When our children were younger, little babies or little children, and they would do something that they weren't supposed to do. And when you spoke to them, called their name and said, "Are you doing that?" First thing they would do, put their head down. Why? Ashamed. Have you ever been ashamed? Ashamed of what? Of you? Ashamed of what you are before God? This was a sinner. This was one who knew he was a sinner. And his face was toward the ground. And it says, verse 13, "And he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." A lot of difference between what this man said to God and what that other man said to God, isn't it? A lot of difference in their spirit. A lot of difference in their, even in their outward appearance. Here's a man standing afar off who won't even lift up his face to heaven. He's blushing, he's ashamed, and he's smiting upon his breast. His heart's broken within him. He's got a contrite, broken spirit. And all he asks God for is mercy. No, he didn't ask God for mercy. He's begging God for mercy. That's what true repentant sinners are. We're mercy beggars. And he's begging mercy from God. And all he has to say about himself is everything he could say about his entire history is summed up right here. A sinner. That's it. What happens if you come to God with this broken, contrite heart that this man came with, confessing yourself to be nothing but a sinner, confessing that the only way you can be saved is if God has mercy on you? How will God receive you? Verse 14, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Oh, will God help us get this lesson. If I exalt myself, if I start picking out your sin and saying, "I'm not like that." If I start condemning you for your sin and saying, "I'm not like that." If I start trying to beat you down and exalt myself, if I'm trusting in myself that I'm righteous and I'm despising you, I'm exalting myself before God. And if I meet God in that condition, God will cast me down to hell for eternity. But if you've been humbled down to God's feet, broken and contrite, oh God, thou will not despise. Broken in a contrite spirit, Lord, you will not despise. And you come to Him, and all you can do is beg mercy. All you can do is confess yourself a sinner. Just a blushing sinner. An embarrassed sinner. An ashamed sinner. God will exalt you. In fact, if you come, you'll find out He's already exalted you. Whenever Christ arose from the grave and sat down at God's right hand, you'll find out that you went there and sat down with Him. If you come to God this way, every sinner that comes to God this way finds out, my life is seated at God's right hand. There I am, seated in Christ. And one day He's coming back for me, and I'm going to be there with Him in body and spirit, perfectly conformed to His image. And I won't have this sinful flesh anymore. I will be the new creation that our Lord Jesus Christ created in righteousness and there won't be any sin in that, in me or in anyone there. Perfect in Christ. Self-righteousness is what makes you sit there and watch the news and say, can you believe they did that? You know what you're saying? I wouldn't do that. This is what we need to be saved from. Your sins, what you think are your sins, your immorality and even your sins of your thoughts and all that, that's not what's keeping you from Christ. What's keeping you from coming to Christ is you think you are righteous. That's what's keeping you from Christ. Because when you find out you're a sinner, we just saw what he does. He comes to Christ, bowed down, begging mercy, confessing he's nothing. And God, he'll raise that man up. I pray today God would humble us down to Christ's feet and make you cast all your care on Christ. I mean everything on Christ. Confessing to God, you're nothing but a sinner. In due time, God will exalt you. In due time. Now today we're going to baptize a young believer who, that's what he's confessing today. He's confessing.